You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, Sunday I taught on Don't Worry. Amen? That was just awesome. I mean, there was just such great stuff in that Sunday morning we taught on Don't Worry, Don't Worry. Out of Matthew, the 6th chapter, where Jesus gave us three perfect examples and reasons why we shouldn't worry. And the first, of course, was obviously God gave us our life, He'll give us food. He gave us our body, He'll give us clothes. If He gave us the big thing, our life, He'll give us the little thing, food. If He gave us the big thing, the body that you have, which you had nothing to do with whatsoever, He gave you that, surely He'll clothe you. Amen. And He used the example of creation, just the birds and the lilies of the field. And they're God's creation. We're His children. You can just look around and see God's going to take care of us. If He take care of what He made, surely He'll take care of His children. I mean, that's like you having some kids and run out of money and you go out and spend all your money on fertilizer for the grass and don't feed your kids. Or bird seed, you know, to put in a bird feeder and let your kids starve. Who does that? I mean, God won't do that. Amen. So just from creation, we know we have nothing to worry about. God's going to take care of us. Amen. And then he talks about after all those things the Gentiles seek or look after, the pagans, the heathens, other religions seek after that, wanting to get that need met, not knowing if God's going to meet that need. Yet he says, your heavenly Father knows you have need of those things already. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added to you. Just from the standpoint that we're Christians, we're not heathens. We're Christians, we're not of another faith. We're Christians, so we don't need to worry. Amen. Our God will supply our need. And then he talks about time, and he says, take no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about that either. Tomorrow take thought for things that self-sufficient days of evil thereof. You know and I know we only got 24 hours in a day, and that's it. And God will never give you strength for tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah, you got to think about that. When tomorrow comes today, you'll have all the strength you need to get through that day. That's right. And all that worry will do for you anyway, nothing, it won't change tomorrow, and it'll rob you of your strength today. That's all it will do. So worry is always a losing proposition. It doesn't do any good. In fact, it does bad. It does a lot of bad. It stresses you out. It robs your strength to believe God today because you're concerned about tomorrow, and you can't change one iota tomorrow by worrying today. So it does nothing for tomorrow and robs the strength that you have today. So there's three good reasons not to worry. Jesus just laid it out for us. Amen. And so I just want to stay on that topic and talk about how that, often in life we lose hope. We feel hopeless. We feel helpless. We feel we fear the future. Worry is really dealing with what hasn't happened yet. Worry is dealing with things going on in our mind, scenarios, pictures of the future that haven't taken place yet. Worry is centering in and focusing on things that have not taken place, that are negative, that are defeatist, that are they're filled with pain and suffering, but none of it's happened yet. It's just pictures of what could be. Hello. And worry has to do with believing it will be. Worry is a faith. It is a belief. It is a it's putting our faith in something that has not taken place yet, but it's putting faith in something very negative, very defeatist, and something that God didn't say would happen. Woo! So once you identify the source of something, then you can do something about stopping that. Once you find the leak in the dam, plug it. You know, I saw some. You see some of these pictures of Louisiana, and there's one wall that water was leaking under. Did y'all see some of those pictures on the news? Water was, and they were just throwing sandbags at that thing, and they had a forklift coming there with a front end loader dumping. You know, they had found a leak, and you know what? They were trying to stop it. Well, I can find there's a leak in your strength, there's a leak in your joy, there's a leak in your peace, and there's a leak in your faith. It's called worry. And we need to find it, and we need to plug it. We need to close that gate. Hello. We got to stop it. We got to stop that because we're leaking. We are cracked vessels. We're not holding all the joy we should be, holding all the peace we should be, holding all the faith we should be because we got a crack. We got a leak here, and worry is that crack. And you need to plug it. Amen. All right. Found Deuteronomy 28 chapter. This is a fascinating chapter. this whole chapter deals with blessings and curses. Now, this is God's terminology. Often some today in today's terminology, it's usually religious people that do it. Thank God I don't have religion, I got Jesus. But too many times religious people will say when something bad happens that they'll say it's really a blessing, negating the whole Bible terminology because God doesn't call it that. What are we doing calling it that? I mean, something bad will happen. They'll say, well, this God did this for a purpose or a reason, and it's really a blessing. God blessed you with this pain or this tragedy or this suffering. And yet the Bible, when you read the Bible, it labels it and it says it's a curse. I'd rather go with Bible terminology. Amen? In Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, notice what it says in the 66th verse. Wow. It's a big chapter, isn't it? 66. Exactly 68 verses in the chapter. The 66th verse says this, and this is a list of the curses that will come upon us if we don't hearken to God's voice, we don't do that which is right in His sight, we don't keep His commandments which He commanded us this day. It says all these curses will come on you and they will overtake you. And then it begins to list one curse after another. Everybody say curse. Okay. 66th verse says, your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night and have no assurance of life. Oh, it gets worse. It goes on and says, in the morning you shall say, oh, that it were evening. And at evening you shall say, oh, that it were morning, because of the fear which terrifies your heart, because of the sight which your eyes see. What you're meditating on, what you're thinking on, the fear of the future. No assurance of life, no assurance, no hope. Let me tell you something. That's a curse. That's not a blessing. That's not God. That's not God's will for your life. God does not want you to go through life with no hope. And suffering and worry and full of doubt and full of unbelief and full of fear. That is not the will of God. In fact, it's listed here as a curse, and we can do something about it.
Amen.
Amen? We are supposed to do something about it. And really, when you identify this, fear comes and the doubt comes and the worries come because of the pictures in our mind, because of what we're thinking on. Really, it all boils down to thoughts. It's not something that's happened. It's something that we believe is going to happen. Who ever worried about something that already happened? I'm just so worried about what happened last week. No, you're worried about what's going to happen next week. You're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. Something happened. You heard some bad news. You heard this report. And then all of a sudden your mind starts spinning, you know, the whole scenario, what that's going to do to you, what that's going to mean to you, what everybody's going to say about you, how it's going to affect your finances tomorrow, next week, next year. You get the report of the doctor about your body, and you start thinking of all the pain you're going to have, and you start thinking about the loss of money and the unfairness of it all, and so on and so forth. And what we ought to be doing is get a grip on that leak, find the source, stop the leak. Now, I realize this, that you can't just stop thinking. So we're not saying just stop thinking negatively, just reach a point of, that's impossible. You're going to think. It's a fact you're going to think. And you can't do anything about that. But you can do something about what you think about. It may be a fact that you think, and you can't help that, but you can change the facts you think about. Hello? You remember that commercial where that guy's driving down the road? I forgot what it was about. But he's driving down the road and he says, I'm thinking all the time. He's from India. I'm thinking all the time. He says, I'm just thinking all the time. Oh, I just had another thought. Oh, there it is again. Oh, I'm thinking again. And we're all laughing at it. Anybody saw that commercial? Okay, I wasted that on some of you. But anyway, thoughts are just part of life. We all think. We can't help that. We're all going to think, and God knows we're going to think. And you can't help thinking, but you can help what you think about. You can change what you're thinking about. The things you think about bring doubt, fear, worry, or they encourage you to believe and trust God and stay in faith. The things that you meditate on. See, you can't help meditating and you can't help thinking, but you can choose what you think and meditate on. You can't just block it out and say, oh, I'm just going to not think of anything. Pull the sheet over your head and hope all the bad people go away. Hello. You know, put hands over yours and go, I'm not listening. No, you can't. Your mind's going to start thinking something. So why not start thinking about God's Word? Why not start replacing that? Fill the hole, the leak. You got to put something in there. Amen? To negate, to stop that doubt and that worry. Now, you don't stop doubt and worry by not thinking. You stop doubt and worry by thinking about the right thing. Does that make sense? You don't stop doubt and unbelief and worry and fear by just not thinking. You stop it by thinking about what God promises and what God says. You can do something about it, but you got to change the way you think. You got to change what you're thinking about. Turn with me to Acts 15. This is fascinating. Acts 15. I'm going to bring out one verse here. I want to stir you tonight. Change your thinking. Amen. I'm not saying just be positive. I'm not saying just, you know, don't be negative, be positive. I'm saying let's find out what God says. Let's stand on the promises of God. Amen. Let's meditate on God's Word. You know, classic verse. We've heard it over and over. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Amen. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. And God told Joshua in Joshua 1:8, he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Think about it. Backs up. It all comes back down to not being void of any bad thoughts or just not thinking bad thoughts at all, but actively thinking God's Word. See, we don't live in a vacuum, and that's impossible. We can't. So that's why when you tell someone just to quit sinning and yet they're not saved and not serving God, they can't quit sinning. They're going to do something. Everybody's going to do something. Everybody's going to serve somebody. Hello. The way to quit sinning is start living holy. Hello. The way to quit beating your wife is start loving her. I just say that, you know, jokingly. Shame on you if you're doing that, my God. But you got to love to replace the hate. You got to trust to replace the doubt. You can't just say, okay, from now I'm not going to worry. No, you have to actively say, from now on I'm going to trust God. You can't just say, oh, from now I'm going to stop thinking about a hopeless, helpless future. You have to say, from now I'm going to start thinking about my destiny, my purpose that God has for me in His Word. And God does have a destiny for you, a hope and a future. Amen? Hallelujah. Notice this, Acts 15. This is fascinating. This is a letter that was sent out to all the Gentile churches because the Jewish church got together in Jerusalem and sent this letter out with Paul and Barnabas. And it's interesting here, the 23rd verse, they wrote this letter by them, Acts 15:23. The apostles, the elders, the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, greetings. Open letter. Now notice this. This next verse I want to get to. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls or minds, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Give you a little background. Paul would go minister somewhere, and some Jews would come in behind him and tell him, okay, you accepted Jesus, but now you've got to get circumcised. You've got to become a Jew. And they're saying, no, we didn't tell anybody that. And these letters are authorized from the apostles at Jerusalem by the hand of Paul and Barnabas that we did not say that. Are you getting the point of the letter? The point I want to make is this. You notice the power of words to trouble you and unsettle your soul. You and I are always troubled and unsettled because of words. Whether it's something we read, something somebody said, or something we're thinking. Words have that power. See, words have a negative and a positive power, as it were. In fact, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love shall eat the fruit thereof. So words can kill or words can bring life. Words can heal or lift up or they can tear down. We know that in just dealing with relationships and dealing with people. But what you're troubled about, what you're worried about, what you're fearful about boils down to words, whether it's thoughts you're thinking or words you've heard. And you have to make a choice in life not to be troubled and not to be unsettled by words. Well, how do you fight words? With words. I mean, you choose your weapons. Okay? The devil comes at you with a bad report. How are you going to negate that? How are you going to fight that? How are you going to combat that with a good report? The devil tells you what he's going to do. Are you hearing the world some bad report about your life or your future or your destiny or something? You're going to have to get in here and find out what God says to fight that with. We're in a fight, not physical. Amen. We're in a war, but not of this world. Amen? Amen. We're counting on God. Woo, hallelujah. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. Don't shout me down just because I'm preaching good. 2 Thessalonians. This is why it's so important to find out what God says. Listen, we are in a world that's just filled with information. We're hit with it in the media. A newspaper, internet, and radio, I mean just television, on and on and on. There are many voices in the world today. They cannot, just pure common sense would tell you, they cannot all be right. Because they contradict each other even. You can't say they all have a truth or all, that's their truth, this is my truth. I'm sorry, these are conflicting truths. I mean, someone could come up here and say, I'm Shirley, or I'm Henry, or I'm Fred, and they may believe it, but it doesn't make it so. Hello, I'm Michael. And that's not a relative thing, other than my relatives name me that. Some things are absolute. But if you don't know God's Word, and you're not in God's Word, and you're not serving God, now, this is not a slam, this is an encouragement, because we can all do this. The good news is we can do this, amen? Then we're at the mercy of a lot of voices and a lot of words and a lot of thoughts and a lot of ideas out there and conflicting opinions and philosophies, and we're just on our own. Let's pick one, just choose. Just take your pick. One's about as good as another if you don't know what God says. Are you with me? But you know, I know what God says. Not on everything. There's a lot of things I do know what he says about. So when those reports come and that fear comes and that doubt and that worry comes and those words come and those thoughts come, if they happen to be contrary to what God says, you know what? I don't have to put up with it. I can stop that leak. Amen. Woohoo! Yeah. I can load up my forklift, my bulldozer, front end loader. I can load it up with the Word of God and just drop it right on that leak. And say, here, take that. Amen? 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, again, same point here. Paul's speaking. He's talking to the Thessalonians. They were told, someone had written them a letter and said something about Jesus had already come. And there are nutcases that have said that even today. God bless them. God bless those nutcases. Jesus hasn't come yet. When he comes, we'll know he came. Hello. It'll be obvious when he comes. The Bible's very plain. When he comes, he'll burst forth that he's going to come with a shout and the voice of an archangel. The dead in Christ will rise. There's a lot of detail on the coming of the Lord. I don't think we missed it. It would have been recorded somewhere sometime. That it would have happened. But anyway, evidently some of them were duped into thinking that he might have come. And he says in the second chapter, first verse, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to soon be shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though that day, the day of Christ, had come. And, of course, he's just trying to encourage them because he knows the power of words and knows the power of a letter. What is the power of words and the power of a letter in this context? Well, negatively speaking, it has the power to shake your mind and trouble you if you believe it. And just because something's said or something's written doesn't mean it's right. Hello? See, actually, when it comes down to it, all the things you've heard and all the things you've read and all the things that have been said, what you believe or trust in is your choice. You choose which ones you believe. You choose which words you believe, which scenarios, which pictures, which images in your mind you just roll around in your head and hold on to and believe and trust in. That's your choice, what you believe and what you trust in. Amen? You may not can control everything that comes around. You can't control every thought that comes into your head, but you can control what you trust in. You can't control necessarily all your thoughts, but you can control your thinking. I got to say that again. You didn't get it. You may not can control all the thoughts that come in your head, but you can control what you think on. Does that make sense? Because a lot of thoughts come in my head, I just choose not to think on them. And I choose not to trust in them. I choose not to let them shake me, rattle me, amen, and trouble me. He said, well, man, how in the world can you do something about that? Well, you can. You can do it by replacing it. You can do it by plugging the leak. Yeah. Amen. Turn over to John 14. Ooh, hallelujah. Is this helping anybody tonight? I want to shake you. I want to stir you. I don't want to just give you a dream and a hope. I want to tell you what to do. I mean, that's, and the Bible tells us that. It doesn't just say, hey, you can have a good life. It tells you how to have a good life. Yeah. And obviously, if you're going to, if thoughts are so powerful and what you're meditating on is giving you all that pain, grief, and misery, then, and we understand that, we've identified the source, then you're going to have to stop thinking all that stuff. Isn't that right? I mean, if some behavior is causing this pain, then stop that behavior. I mean, if I just keep running over and hitting the wall, bam, hit the ground, get back up and hit it again. At some point, this pain in my head, my nose, if I want to stop it, I'm going to have to stop the behavior that's causing this pain. Hello? Okay. John 14, found it? Jesus said this. Well, this is good. These are familiar scriptures. Some of these are. Some of these you've heard over and over. John 14, verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled, neither... Oh, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Wow. Now he's telling me that it's my responsibility. Y'all see that? Well, that's great, Jesus. I mean, you don't want me to be troubled. How am I supposed to do that? Believe. Did you get it? Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. You believe in God, believe in me. So if I'm going to stop being troubled, I'm going to have to start believing in Jesus. Wow, that's profound. If I'm going to stop being worried about tomorrow or troubled about an event or some words or report or something I've heard, then I'm going to have to start trusting in Jesus to not be troubled by the other words or reports. I'm going to have to load up my front end loader full of what Jesus said and just plug the leak. Stop it with believing in what Jesus said. Because really, worry is belief. It is a faith. It's just a faith in the wrong thing. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is a faith. If you want to know the truth, it's believing the negative. It's believing the defeat. It's believing the enemy. It's believing the bad report as opposed to what God said. Now listen to this. David said it this way. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What now? Leads me beside still water. Yeah, I jumped way ahead. I'm way ahead here. I want to get down that verse. Yeah, don't walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Anyway, it's a great psalm. Go read it. I can quote it in my sleep. I don't know why I got tongue tangled right then. But he goes on, if you go through the whole psalm, he's just talking about what he believes God is going to do. Amen? Amen? And then he comes right on down and he says this. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now what he's saying is, I'm going to meditate on what God's going to do in this. Not the death I'm in the middle of, in the midst of. I'm going to meditate on what God's going to do. And He's going to comfort me. Hallelujah. Woo! But that was a choice on his part. He says, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. He says, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me. That's what he's believing for the future. That's what he believes tomorrow is going to bring. He says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. See, he's thinking about going over because of God. He's thinking about making it because God's with him. He's thinking about the comfort and the protection and provision of God. There may be trouble on the horizon. There may be a valley of death I'll go through, but praise God, I'm coming out the other side, and somebody's with me greater than this problem. Yes, Lord. And greater is he that's in me than he's in the world.
Yes.
Amen? So he's replacing the fear, the doubt, he's replacing the worry, not with a vacuum. No, he's replacing it with faith. He's choosing to believe. Like Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Yeah, but have you seen gas prices? My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's what Philippians 4:19 says. So when I see that high gas price, I remember Ted and I went to pick up a couch and love seat that Brenda had bought on Craigslist. Don't get me started on Brenda and Craigslist. We've gotten everything off Craigslist. Washers, dryers, and a dog. Anyway, we went over to pick this up, and these people happen to be Christians. Ted, you know, went over with us. We borrowed his truck and him to drive it and him to help load. And we got over there and we were loading up the truck. And, you know, I was just talking to these people and we were just, you know, it was nice. They were Christians. I was asking them about, you know, the community they lived in. They had a nice little area there. And of course, I didn't know what flavor Christian they were. I didn't really care. I was just glad they were saved, you know. And so we're at the truck and of course, a big truck that Ted has. The guy says, boy, when you walk up to the pump, you must, what did he say? You must faint or something. Or I forgot exactly what he said, but I said, oh, no, you just look at that pump and say, my God shall supply all my needs according to the riches of glory by Christ Jesus. I said, we just need to put that on the gas tank. Well, I don't know. I just said it. I didn't even think about it. It just came out real fast, and he didn't really respond. And I thought, oh, he didn't get that. But anyway, that's what's wrong with the world. Amen. And sometimes us as Christians even, is that we believe in God for heaven, but we don't really believe in to meet our needs daily. You know, obviously David believed for heaven, he dwelled in the house of the Lord forever, but he also believed that God would provide for his needs here on this earth. Leading by the still waters, green pastures, paths of righteousness, all those things he listed were right now, today. I mean, we talk about the pitiful past and the fearful future, but what about the old nasty old now? That's what I'm concerned about. God's concerned about the present. Hallelujah. And you can trust him. Amen. And he will take care of it. Amen. 14th chapter, notice the 27th verse, John 14:27. In the 27th verse, Jesus is still speaking. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. Now this must be attainable, reachable, possible, or Jesus wouldn't ask us to do it. I mean, he's not going to say, don't be afraid, and then knowing full well that you can't do anything about it. If he says, don't be afraid, then you don't have to be afraid. If he said, don't be troubled, then you don't have to be troubled. But you're going to have to do a little homework. You're going to have to do a little work in the sense of you're going to have to identify what it is you're worrying about, identify those thoughts that are bringing you that pain and that suffering and that fear, and you're going to have to replace those thoughts with what God says. Because he starts out, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. So believing is the key. Amen. Trusting God obviously is the key. In fact, Philippians 4, turn over there. We're just going through several verses here. I've got a ton of them in my head we're not going to get to, but Philippians 4, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. If you want an acronym for that, Gentiles eat pork chops. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You can tell when I've told a joke over and over, you know. You need new people coming all the time to laugh at the jokes because you guys have heard them so many times. But Philippians 4th chapter, notice what it says in the 6th verse, very common verse, you know this. Be anxious, careful, fretful is what that means. Worried, troubled. Be anxious, fretful, worried, troubled for nothing. Wow. That pretty well takes it all in, doesn't it? Philippians 4, 6. Be careful, fretful, anxious for nothing. How in the world can you get to the point to where you're not fretful and worried and anxious for nothing? I mean, that's a nice sentiment. I'd like that, wouldn't you? But how am I going to do that? Let's read the rest of the verse. But in everything by prayer. Oh, wait a minute. Whoa. See, there's the key. Obviously, what I'm worried about, I'm not really praying about. Or if I am praying, I'm not believing. Because he gives me the formula right here. He tells me what to do to get rid of that worry, that suffering, that troubled mind, that unsettled mind. And we all deal with it. There's not a person in here this is not touching tonight. There's not a person in here that hasn't had troubled minds and worry and fear. We're human. We live in a broken, fallen world. God knows that, and that's why he tells us this. He's trying to help us here. This is not to beat us on the head. This is not to condemn us. This is not to say we're old, sorry sinners and just can't believe God at all. No, he's saying, I know you deal with this. I know you're going to come up against this. I want to tell you how to get out of it. Aren't you glad? See, God loves you so much, he wants to tell you how to get out of it because he knows the pain you go through, laying awake at night, the twisted stomach in your gut, and just, you know, your heart racing, the tightness in your body that you go through because of stress and because of worry and because of fear. And God does not want you to go through that. That is a curse. That's a curse. We read that over in Deuteronomy 28 chapter, 66 verse. Galatians 3:13 tells us Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. Praise God, Jesus came to redeem me from the curse. And one of the curses is being in fear of the future, in fear of my life day and night, having no hope. That's a curse. I got hope, and you got hope. And we get there by believing in God, by trusting in Jesus. And in this case, very plainly, he says, by praying about everything. I think sometimes we reserve prayer because we're so spiritual and so pious, we reserve prayer for only holy things, just for consecration of our lives. And we just pray about big things like the church. And so, and we should do all that. Stay with me. I believe in all that. You understand what I'm saying? But he didn't say that. He said, in everything. Well, I wouldn't go to God with this little thing. No, you just go ahead and try to handle it yourself. That's where the worry comes from. That's where the frustration comes from. That's where the pain, the suffering comes from, because you will not turn it over to God. I don't care how little it is. The little foxes spoil the vine. They'll tear you up. They'll add up and they'll eat you up if you don't pray about them. I don't care if it's kids. I don't care if it's finances. I don't care if it's what it is. You need to pray about it. You need to turn it over to the Lord. Amen? The Bible tells us, cast our cares upon him, for he cares for us. 1 Peter 5:7. So we got to take those cares, those worries, and cast them over on him. We've got to learn to pray and seek God's face and turn things over to him. Be they small or be they large, we need to let God be Lord of all. We got an election coming up. I'll tell you what's going to change your life. It's not the next leader of this country. Never has been that way. It's not who you elect as president. not going to change your life. It's not going to make a change. And it's not going to help you. It's not going to make you a better person. It's not going to solve all your problems. It's not going to bring you peace and joy. It's not going to make your marriage work right. I mean, I believe we ought to get out there and vote, and I believe in our country. Thank God for the United States of America. But it's not who you elect as President of the United States. It is who you elect as Lord of Lords in your life. It's who you choose, who you put on the ballot as King of Kings. That's what's going to bring you peace. That's what's going to bring you joy. That's what's going to bring you happiness. That's what's going to bring all those things you've been looking for, is who you elect, who you choose to think on, trust in, to believe in. Jesus could have said it this way. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You have elected God in your life. Why not choose me, Jesus?" Yeah, you've chosen God. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Amen? So he says this, "Be careful, fretful, anxious, worried for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving." Why would you thank God when you come with a need? Because you know He's going to meet it. You thank Him because now you got your answer. You thank Him because now you got hope, you got help, you got a future. Hallelujah. Don't have to worry anymore. Don't have to lay awake at night about this thing. Praise God, I got this off my chest. Woo, hallelujah. I finally turned it over to God. And that's when the peace comes. That's when the joy comes. He says, "In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." You talk to everybody else about it, why don't you go talk to God? You told everybody else your problems, why don't you tell the Lord? Amen? You might have asked everybody else to help you, but why don't you ask God to help you? He will. Amen? And he says this, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds." Everybody say minds. See, there it is again. Guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Because that's where all the pain comes from. That's where the suffering comes. That's where the worry, the doubt, fear of your life, hopeless situations, those pictures, those scenarios. Oh, no, no, no. You need someone to guard and protect and keep your mind. Only God can do that. And He can only do that when you turn it over to Him. He can only do that when you pray and believe Him and trust Him. See, it all comes down to words. It comes down to pictures. It comes down to thoughts. It comes down to what's going on inside your head. And you need help with that. And I know where you can get it. Same place I get it. Same place you've gotten it time and time again. Amen? You get it from Jesus. You get it from the Lord. So He guards your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now listen to this closely here. The eighth verse. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report," not a bad one, "if there's any virtue or power from God," think about it, "and if there's anything praiseworthy, something to thank God about and praise Him about, meditate on these things." Plug the leak. Close the gate. How? Start thinking about what God says. "Well, I don't know if I'm going to make it." Start thinking about making it. "Well, what if I go under?" Start thinking about going over. Are you with me? "I don't know if I'm going to get through this." Start thinking about getting through it. How? "His rod and His staff, they comfort me." Trust Him. Amen? "Well, I just got this thing just bother me." Well, quit letting it bother you. Whatever it is you're thinking that's giving you that pain. You ever heard the term, you know, "drop it like a hot potato"? You've heard that, haven't you? Who in the right mind would continue to hold on to that thing when it's causing all that pain? Yeah. Let it go. And hey, grab up something else. Grab up God's Word. Fill your mind with God's Word. Find out what God says about this thing. Start saying what God says about this thing. Start confessing God's word. Start meditating on the testimony you're going to have. Start meditating on sharing your faith now because you got out of this mess. Oh, this is going to be sweet. Man, it's going on, that's going on, that's going on. What in the world's going on here? Well, things are looking right for a miracle. Man, when I get out of this one, everybody's going to know it's God. Because there's no way this will ever happen without God. So I guess God's got a big... He's got something on His plate He's going to take care of, but He will take care of it. He always does.
Hallelujah.
I'm glad I don't have to handle it. I'm just going to trust Him. Can't wait to give this testimony. Woohoo! Start meditating on praiseworthy things, lovely things, good reports. Quit meditating on that bad report. Amen. So He says this, the things which you have heard or learned, ninth verse, and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. That is so powerful. I mean, I don't have time to get into all the... There's so many verses we could get into here that are connected. One more, Luke 10. I've got to share that one. The answer to your worries and your fears and your trouble is in meditating on and believing and trusting in God's word. Amen? It's not complicated. It's really pretty simple. It's just stop running into the wall, okay? It's find the leak. Plug it. Whatever it is that's causing you that pain, turn it over to God. He's got big shoulders. You know, the Bible says He neither slumbers nor sleeps. So what are you staying all awake night about? Awake all night about it. He's awake already. No sense in both of you staying awake. Let Him handle it. But you have to turn it over to Him. You got to trust Him. It may be your kids. It may be your marriage. It may be serious. I'm not belittling the pain that you may be going through and the suffering in your mind, the trouble that your future, what you see in the future brings to you. But what I'm saying is there is an answer to that. There is a way to turn that around. And I can guarantee you, without a doubt, without any question, worry is not going to help the matter one bit. Only trusting God is going to help it. Worry has gotten like, you know, sitting in a rocking chair. There's a lot going on there, but you're not getting anywhere. It's like revving up your engine when you're in park. You're just using up all that gas, but you're not moving. Not getting anywhere. Worry never gets you anywhere. In fact, it robs you. It steals from you. You got an issue here. You got a problem or a crisis. I tell you what we need to do. We need to believe God. That's what we need to do. Let's recognize and start trusting God. Let's don't worry. Let's start believing God. Now, all of a sudden, the problem starts getting solved. Maybe not immediately. It may take a while. You didn't get into it overnight. It may take a while to get out of it. But not only does the problem start getting solved, it starts getting better, but you start sleeping at night better too. Woo, hallelujah. Luke 10, in closing. This is my final closing. 38th verse. Now, you know this story. Now, it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. You can get so busy doing things that you miss the main thing. Hello. That you miss the focus. You miss the point of your power, the point of your peace, the point of your joy. And that always is going to be God. It's always going to be Him and His Word. It's always going to be that. You get away from that, you can even be doing good things. In this case, she was ministering to Jesus. Think about that. But not listening to Him. Wow. Wrapped up doing the work of God, but her faith wasn't where it ought to be. Her mind wasn't where it should be. She was distracted. See that? Distracted. But now Mary knows that. Mary, it says Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. So her mind is going another direction. She's not fretting and fretful. She's not anxious and full of anxiety. She's not worried and troubled. She's having a big time. She's hearing what Jesus has to say about it. Notice Jesus' response, 41st verse. And Jesus answered and said to her, or to Martha, 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 you are worried and troubled about many things. You know, I think we miss the humor in this. I really do. Her name's said twice, okay? Jesus didn't do that a lot. Stay with me. Martha, Martha. Kind of like Cary Grant. Judy, Judy, Judy. You know, just he said it for emphasis. Oh, Martha, Martha. Oh, come on. I wish I could have seen his face. You know, he probably had a little bit of a smile or a grin on his face when he said, Martha, Martha, you are troubled about many things. Basically, you don't need to be troubled, Martha. You're troubled because you're not doing what she's doing. That's exactly what he said. He said, Martha, Martha, you are troubled. And you're worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.
Amen.
What was needed? Martha needed to hear what Jesus had to say. Her mind was full of all kinds of scenarios, and her mind was running, and her thoughts were just spinning left and right, and she wasn't getting a fair shake here, and Mary ought to be helping her, and blah, blah, and yada, yada, and that mind was, you know what? She wasn't meditating on what God said. She wasn't thinking about God's word. And she was worried and troubled about many things because she had not chosen the right thing to think on, the right thing to meditate on, and that was sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing what he had to say. And if you're worried about something, I can guarantee you're not thinking about what God said about it. Because if you're worried and troubled about it, you're not believing God. Now, do we all do it? Sure we do. I'm standing right here to tell you I do it all the time. I have to repent myself. So I'm not Superman. I'm not saying, you know, you'll reach a point in your life like me where you'll never worry about anything again. I wish that were true. But when I do worry, I know I've messed up. The red flag goes up. Hey, you know what? I'm not trusting God here. I got to stop this, and I got to start trusting God. If you live any length of time at all, you're going to have that opportunity over and over and over. But praise God, we got some instruction.
Amen.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in Jesus. Amen.